Joining us now from Applin Sports, NFL and college football columnist, also host the Going for Two podcast, Brian Fisher, kind enough to join us. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Staying pretty busy for this time of year.
Yeah, well, there's plenty going on for sure. Let's start with 2 weeks from today, the NFL draft. We're here in Salt Lake City. Is it a foregone conclusion that Zach Wilson's going to New York?
I think so. All signs have really kind of pointed that way. And, you know, with the trade of Sam Darnold, I think that almost solidified it, you know, not only in the minds of everybody around the league, but certainly in that front office in New York, that Zach Wilson's going to be the guy. They like what they have in him and building around him. You know, I think that's the whole key is to not have a repeat of the situation that happened with Sam Darnold, where you do have that quarterback taken in the top three, but you don't get him weapons. That is changing, I think, with Joe Douglas and what he's trying to do as the general manager of the Jets. And I think the more interesting thing about both the Jaguars and the Jets now in terms of the draft is not who they're taking with that first pick, but who they got with that second pick in the first round.
I worry about it a little bit. I think about, like, if Tom Brady or Brett Favre had been drafted by the Jets and they'd never put a piece around them and never gave them a chance to win, if those guys would be as great and Hall of Fame players that they have become based off the organization that drafted them. Is there a real worry for that with the Jets, in your opinion?
I think so, but I think, you know, with regards to Zach Wilson, I think what helps him is, you know, Mike LaFleur's offense is really going to play up to his strengths. You know, it's not really an offense that's designed to almost at times like we saw at BYU where he kind of had to put everything on his shoulders. And so they're going to be able to lean on that running game. You know, they're going to be able to get a lot of weapons. They have a ton of draft capital, not just in this year's draft, but you know, going forward the next couple of years. And when you're talking about adding wide receivers, when you're adding offensive linemen, you already got some good building blocks there, you know, in Mekhi Becton and some of the others. So I think it's a much better situation for, you know, Zach Wilson to walk into there in New York than we've seen in past years. And I think, honestly, that's the case with a lot of these guys. You know, whether you're Trevor Lawrence, you know, usually you're that number one pick. You kind of got to kind of carry the franchise a little bit. But he's got some skills position talent down there in Jacksonville in terms of, you know, not only to throw to, but along the offensive line, a little bit better situation. You know, look at Miami. You know, look at Atlanta. You know, these quarterbacks are coming into the league now because there is so much more talent. You know, you've got guys around you that you can make plays. And it's no longer the case to where these franchises that are picking in the top 10 typically remain there because there is, you know, you're able to kind of spread the ball around and make that situation so much better for these rookie quarterbacks. And on top of them just being, you know, physically and mentally more prepared to play in the NFL nowadays.
So Trevor Lawrence will be off the board. Zach Wilson will most likely be off the board. San Francisco picks at number 3. They'll have their choice of Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Justin Fields. We all envision they'll go quarterback. Which of those three do you think they go with?
Well, I mean, obviously the scuttlebutt for a long time, you know, has been Mac Jones. And I think if you're paying that premium to go up and get him, I think you've got to find a guy that has elite traits in terms of the quarterback position. And I think the ceiling for a guy like Justin Fields is high enough to where San Francisco is going to come to their minds. And maybe it's just kind of draft chatter that they were taking Mac Jones. But, you know, Justin Fields, when you compare him side to side, you know, with a guy like Mac Jones, I think, you know, he compares really favorably, and he would be kind of my third guy. I think there could be some questions in terms of, you know, scheme fit, you know, with Trey Lance, and maybe he's kind of the guy with the elongated ceiling that he might have as both a runner and a passer. But I think that's really where the draft starts. Is what is San Francisco going to do? Which of those quarterbacks are they going to take? And then, you know, that's really kind of where the cards fall from there, because you look at Atlanta, obviously potentially in the quarterback market. You know, I think, you know, the Lions, I can't rule them out. You know, I think there's obviously been talk about Denver, you know, even New England coming up to get one of those big time quarterbacks. So just a fascinating year. And it really does kind of start with, which is the guy in San Francisco, and then what is Atlanta kind of going to do coasting off of that?
Compare this year's draft to potentially next year's draft as far as being flooded, being packed because of the weird extra year, the COVID situation. Would you rather be being drafted this year or coming out next year's draft?
Probably next year, just because there would be more information on a lot of guys. And I think you've heard that. Yeah, teams have kind of doubled down in terms of, you know, watching the film and really getting a good sense of these prospects, you know, as players on the film. But, you know, there's still, you know, kind of the unknown. And in fact, some simply haven't been able to kind of get out, you know, really to talk with their, you know, high school coaches. And yeah, you can do that over Zoom and all that, but kind of finding out, you know, how are these guys in the facility? That's still a great unknown for a lot of these franchises. And, you know, frankly, for a lot of these kids as well, you know, they're not crisscrossing the country, going to workouts, you know, performing for general managers like they normally would in other years, to where, you know, yeah, you can impress at the combine, you can put everything on tape, but, you know, sometimes it is as simple as, yeah, you go have one of those private workouts at these team facilities, and you do something that, you know, really catches the eye of the coaching staff, and it just takes one team to really fall in love with you. And that is kind of lost from the process these last 2 years. But I would imagine we've already kind of seen the NFL, you know, really pointing towards business as normal coming this fall, and I would assume that's going to be the case for next year's draft class as well.
Do you anticipate all five quarterbacks will be gone in, by pick 10?
I would think so, just because of, you know, you look at some of those quarterback needy teams, you know, kind of in that 10 to 20 range. I mean, you got to keep in mind Washington is out there as probably needing another young guy that can maybe make the move up there. So I think it's great, you know, if you're Carolina, if you're Detroit and you're not comfortable, you know, if you're Cincinnati and want to trade back, I think there are a lot of you know, willing draft partners. I think the key in my mind is, you know, what is that compensation going to be? You know, after we've already seen what San Francisco used to move up, and I just think everybody, you know, wants that franchise cornerstone. And so I think for a lot of these teams, they see four really good guys, and I think they're going to go after them if they start falling. And you know, it's going to be the kind of story of the draft, is how these four to five guys are really going to kind of not only progress together in terms of their career, but you're really kind of compete off each other.
We talked about Zach Wilson being the second overall pick. I'm wondering if you're hearing any draft buzz about some of these guys I'll mention. Brady Christensen, the offensive tackle, Dax Milne, the receiver, Kyrus Tonga, the defensive tackle, Chris Wilcox, the corner, Matt Bushman, the tight end. Are you hearing any draft buzz about any of these other guys?
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny because, you know, Zach Wilson just takes up so much of the room in the air, right? You know, I mean, it's not only just the quarterback, but a guy that's kind of going, you know, that high. And I think Christensen, you know, probably is, you know, helped himself a little bit. I think he's probably a guy that can be as early as a day two pick. I think there, you know, are certainly teams that, you know, like some of those guys. I think Milne, I mean, I think everybody saw, you know, the tape and finding those slot guys. You know, I think this is a big draft for those type of receivers. And so I think he can kind of slot in there, you know, for teams that are looking to add weapons. I think this is a, you know, really when you look at the day two and day three picks, you know, I think a lot of teams are going to find some real gems. And maybe he's one of those guys. You know, if he finds the right offensive fit, you know, I think certainly having that connection with the quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up in New York just because of that connection with Zach Wilson in one of those later round picks. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, really, as much as you focus on the top guys, this is going to be a draft that when we look back, it's going to be dictated to who really emerges out of those kind of middle and late round picks.
You look at the landscape of college athletics, and we all knew this day was coming, and it might come as later as this afternoon, where one free transfer is allowed for each player. Obviously, it's already college basketball. You've got 1,300 players in the portal right now. I imagine it's going to be the old Wild West for a while. Do you anticipate, though, that the dust will clear and it'll calm down a little bit in the next coming years, or do you anticipate it's going to be a free-for-all every year?
Yeah, I think, you know, just because of both the pandemic and obviously these rules changing, everybody's going to want to kind of explore and kind of push the limits a little bit. But ultimately, as we've seen, you know, really with a lot of these rule changes, you know, whether it's even been the transfer portal, you know, eventually it kind of evens out. And I think that is ultimately what is going to happen. Now, the one thing that I don't see changing necessarily is kind of this move. And, you know, it started a couple of years ago, certainly with Alabama being the kind of the biggest one to kind of push for this, but kind of having that second scouting department, not necessarily focused on those high school recruits, but, you know, really, you know, your own team and certainly some of the transfers out there, that's going to be a big time usage of all these analysts and you know, assistant coaches. You know, they're going to be focusing on talent acquisition, And to, you know, I think that is not going away. You can be a minor guy, and if you're not getting playing time, I would imagine that, a lot of these schools, it's going to be okay. If you finish second in recruiting, it used to be that was not a good place to be. But, with the transfer portal, I think it could be an opportunity for a lot of these guys who arrive on campus and it's not, really what they expected, to go back out there and find the right fit. And I think coaches are going to, kind of take advantage of it. The key in my mind, though, is we're looking at a big real scholarship crunch these next couple of years, because all those guys got the extra year. How is that going to affect a lot of these programs around there? And are we going to just simply see, fewer high school guys kind of get those big time offers because of not only guys coming back to schools, transfers, you adding in? That is the real roster management question that I think is going to take a couple of years to play out. And then we're going to kind of start to see things even back out to where it's almost a new normal.
I'm interested in 10 years from now running a study on percentage of transfers that get drafted into the NFL. Do you see any trends where NFL teams are as likely to draft a transfer as they are a guy that will stay with his organization? I guess we probably haven't had enough time to really even pick up on trends in that area.
Yeah, I think it's still early, but I mean, obviously, I don't think that's dissuading the NFL, at all. I mean, Kyler Murray's a number one pick, Baker Mayfield's a number one pick. Those guys transferred. Justin Fields is probably going to be a top 5 or 10 pick. So I don't think it's kind of the black mark that it used to be, for a lot of these NFL franchises. Now, I think, when you look at guys transferring, multiple high schools and all that, maybe that is more the red flag from the college level on up. But, to be honest, I don't think it's that big of a deal at all, from the NFL teams, that they want to see these guys play. And so I think if it's a guy transferring for the right situation, maybe it's to be closer to home. Maybe it's to, there was a coaching change that just brought in a different system. It's not that black mark that it used to be. And so I think these NFL franchises have come around to it. And I think they're learning, as we go. And really, it's just kind of more work on them, because they kind of get to do extra background on not just one school, but two schools now.
Well, we appreciate your time. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for making taking a few moments out of your day, and look forward to catching up again here really soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.